Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Our Friday get-together, and believe it or not, the weather is gorgeous, and hello to our listeners out there.
It's the first day of fall at 11:50 Pacific Daylight Time.
Right. They've got it right down to the minute at when it starts to change.
Yeah, but but next week for Vancouver, fall weather, we're going to have an entire week of rain.
Yep. They owe us a lot of precipitation, you know, Jim.
Well, a lot of people don't realize it about Vancouver. Yeah, we get 7-8 months of rain, but our summers are usually very dry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
July, August, and September are the driest and usually rather good. So.
Yeah.
No
that's
complaints
why,
here.
That's why we live here. Our average summer temperature is about 22 degrees, 72 Fahrenheit, and our average winter temperature is 10 Celsius or 50 Fahrenheit.
Yep.
Now Canada and the rest of the world, you know why we live here. Plus, the most gorgeous views on the planet.
Right. You're working for the Board of Trade.
And tourism. Well, I always tell visitors to Vancouver, oh no, this rain doesn't happen all the time. Oh, you're planning to move here? Oh, it rains all the time. There's enough of us already.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get into some headlines today and also take a look at what's going to happen with gold, you think. That'll be in the second half of the show. First of all, our first headline of the day comes from Reuters. Evergrande shares tumble 25% after wealth management detained. Their general manager, Du Liang, was hauled off in cuffs about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, these things, they just get so leveraged, and people never think about what happens when the markets and interest rates go the other way. And these guys are toast. It's ancient. It happens in every great, crazy financial speculation. Yep.
Well, the difference in China, though, is financial crimes are also punishable by death. A third of all offenses in China under the criminal code are punishable by death.
Oh, now, that is startling.
Yes. Now, Mr. Liang, well, his family might end up being charged 6 cents, because if you're executed in China, the family is sent the bill for the bullet, and a bullet in China costs 6 cents, and if they don't pay the 6 cents, they won't return the ashes of the prisoner to the family.
Oh, my God, that's extraordinary.
China...
You've been doing some research, Jim.
Yes, now... Du Liang told a very angry mob of investors 2 weeks ago, according to Breitbart, that although he got his money out and his executives got their money out of the company, he said there's no way that they can pay off the $5.5 billion in mature bonds to 200,000 investors.
Yep, and that's the way it is.
China used to televise live their executions back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped because the prisoners would shout out anti-government slogans before they were shot. Screw you, Chairman Mao. Things like that.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
That's why people are should be scared to do business in China. If they don't like what you do, you could end up not in front of a firing squad, just one bullet to the back of the head. Yeah. The Chinese are frugal with their lead.
Yeah.
Hedge fund bets could spark turmoil in treasuries. What's going on there?
Well, the long end of the treasury market has been beat down in price and up in yield. And this is also affecting a central banker. So it's sure hedge funds may be on the wrong side of it, but the central bankers are up to here in well, if you take a look at the Fed picture, it's 5-year maturities beyond, is still a huge billions of dollar position. And they and the central banks reported they're going, you know, on the year end into and that they had lost, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions in the markdown in bond prices. And the markdown in bond prices hasn't ended yet. And you got to look at real long interest rates. And in previous bubbles, the real long rates have come down with the boom, and then they go up. So at the moment, interest rates are very painful. And the term I look at has gone from -1% real to +2% real. So, or maybe you look at another maturity, but so there's been a 3 or 4 percentage point increase in real long interest rates. The typical post-bubble increase in long interest rates has been 10 to 12 percentage points. So this is a lot of pressure, early days. So it's not going to be a pretty sight.
Headline from Breitbart, El Iranian. Inflation will go up due to oil issues and energy transition.
Yeah, El Iranian is made, he was with the huge bond fund manager, PIMCO, and then I think he's with Cambridge or something now. So he's a really top guy and followed, but he's extrapolating the rise in oil price, and then he's fallen for the story about energy transition from fossil fuels to, you know, whiz-bang windmills and solar stuff. So he's just carrying the party line.
Stocks struggle as $95 oil adds to rate concerns.
Actually, they got that a little backward.
Yeah.
Because we follow oil pretty closely, and 5 or 6 weeks ago called for a rally. It had been oversold, and we also study the seasonals on this. And often you can have a nice seasonal high for crude oil in late September. What have we got? Pretty good momentum on the daily, and the rally is there. So I think crude oil is going to go down, but what they're worried about is that it's driving rates up. That's a financial problem. But it also, these days, a rising crude oil price is often goes with a rising S&P price. And the S&P has rallied. So I think both the S&P and crude oil in the next few weeks will roll over down to, for crude oil, maybe even dismal lows in January. You know what those are like.
Well, it won't be like 3 years ago when we had negative oil prices.
Oh, that was
a, remember
something
that?
To do with an outgoing contract. So, yeah.
Yeah, but a one-day anomaly. Try.
Yeah, well, I was confused at it at the time, and I would still be confused about it. So
now, speaking of oil, olive oil prices surge over 100% to record high.
Yeah. I looked at that one, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And these days, you can get price charts in virtually everything. So then I thought, well, we'd better check out vinegar, you know, for salad dressing.
Yeah.
And vinegar is making record highs as well. So the cost of your basic Italian salad dressing is flying to the moon. So
now, I would imagine all those forest fires in Greece might be one of the reasons, and also drought hit Europe hard.
Yeah, that would threaten their olive crop, yes.
Maybe we need to start growing olives here in B.C. if it's going to be hot every summer.
Almost warm enough.
Yeah. Well, Sophia Loren credits her longevity and good looks to olive oil, both inside and out.
Okay. Well, I do have the greatest admiration for that actress. She has been in some incredible movies.
She also spent 3 months in jail for tax evasion.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, tax evasion is the Italian national sport. Everybody. Oh, yeah. That's why in Italy, you'll probably pay the highest fuel prices at the pump in Europe, because they know you can't beat the pump price.
Yeah.
So you pay a lot of tax there.
So that's where they grab the taxes, yeah.
At the gasoline pump. Now, going back behind the bamboo curtain, Country Garden, the biggest real estate company in China. Would that make it the biggest real estate company in the world, Bob?
Could be, you know. One would have to look at that, but that's, let's say they're huge.
Yes. Country Garden leaves bondholders in dark as interest unpaid.
Yep. They had billions of dollars of one issue that they owed, that is a payment, an interest payment was due on, and they couldn't handle it, and that is a disaster.
Headline from the New York Times, crisis and bailout, the torturous cycle stalking nations in debt. Right now, yeah. Argentina's inflation, 146%.
Yeah.
Like, how are they ever going to pay back those rising American dollars?
Well, their central bank is used to always issuing currency. And I was talking to a friend of mine who lives part of the year in Mexico, good financial guy, and he says, underneath it all in Mexico now, nobody's paying any attention, but the central bank has been acting fairly responsibly, which is interesting, so... Yep.
Yes.
We got one more headline.
Yes, we do. Paul Krugman, this is a Goldilocks economy.
Yeah, now Krugman is an economist. I don't know, with one of the big outfits, and he gets a lot of attention. He publishes a column and all that sort of stuff. But he's also, a few years ago, took an interest in runaway global warming and did write in his column that global warming deniers should spend time in jail. But actually, the Goldilocks part of the headline, of course, it applies to the stock market when everything is perfect. Not too hot, not too cool, just right. Goldilocks. And you only see that when the market is overpriced and everybody's confident. But there is a technical indicator called the Hindenburg Omen. And it has to do with, let's put it this way. You can get a Hindenburg omen in a high volatile stock market, but each Hindenburg omen signal has not been followed by a massive hit in the stock market. But going the other way, every massive hit in the stock market was preceded by a Hindenburg. So here we have Goldilocks is about to encounter the Hindenburg omen. It could be monumental, but it won't be a pretty sight.
And I'm just doing a little bit of research here on the Argentinian inflation rate. Bob, I exaggerated when I said 146. It's only 124.4%.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you're getting next week's number.
Yeah, not next. We'll take a look at what Bob thinks is going to happen to gold when we return.
Don't miss out.
Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, you've been crunching some numbers, taking a look at data. What do you think is going to happen with gold?
Yeah. We look at it differently. Most of the people interested in gold, from the major corporations to big fund managers, they're all on the theme that dollar down, gold up. Therefore, buy the gold stock. So that essentially is speculating in foreign exchange market, like the dollar going down. But I've found in the post-bubble contraction, gold's real price goes up, because there were long periods when the senior currency was convertible into gold and there was no nominal change in the gold price. But when you deflate it by the CPI, or even more interesting, by the by commodity index, which we do the CRB. So the CRB, the commodity index, represents the costs of mining gold. And you can really get this when you take gold and divide it by crude oil, representing energy, and it takes about, we take about 60% of mining costs are energy related. So then, therefore, crude oil is a good proxy for energy. So it doesn't matter what the price of gold does in U.S. dollars. I don't think it's going to go anywhere anyways. But what does matter is that the cost of mining gold's down and gold producers start to make some money. So this changes the whole perspective of gold mining stocks, is that you would buy them on an anticipated stream of increasing earnings. And that then is investing in earnings, and it is definitely not speculating dollar down, the very old story. So I keep track of it. We had a pretty good 5 month rally in gold relative to commodities, the CRB. I think at its best it was about a 30% improvement, but gold divided by crude oil, I think at its best was about a 50% improvement. So this is where, on the longer term, we're very bullish on gold stocks, the whole spectrum from the biggies to the smallies, depending on your portfolio. And we've also, since last summer, been looking for a low for the gold stocks, let's say the GDXJ, sometime in October. And then they are a bit weak lately. And so as we get there, we will have our technical tools to identify, you know, a good bottom as it occurs. And this would lead to a multi-year bull market for the whole gold sector. And I kind of like that prospect. There's also a problem out there with the silver bugs, who every year there's a supply-demand deficit, and somehow these guys think they can go from analyzing amounts to getting price. I've found it just best you can analyze price. So at any rate, in a post-bubble contraction, the gold-silver ratio goes up, which means that silver underperforms gold, and it can underperform big time. So if you're in any of these, and there's far too many of them, small single mine silver stocks or small, you know, single property pre-production or something like that, I would just I would strictly keep the discipline to buy, if you're looking at junior golds, to buy junior golds and avoid junior silver stocks. The gold ones will make much more money.
Yeah, and it is interesting because silver isn't just a precious metal. It's an industrial metal. Yep. It's in every computer. It's a terrific conductor of electricity. You need silver to make solar panels for the mirrors. And there, like you said, an undersupply. Why is that price? Is it artificially suppressed?
Oh, God, the silver bugs. As long as I've been in the market, every year silver is at a deficit of supply-demand, and they're bullish all the time. But I don't do supply-demand analysis. I do historical research and technical stuff, overbought, oversold. And I'm just putting out a comment that if people want to go into junior precious metal stocks, best to do it in golds, not silvers. You might get stuck there for a while. Whereas the gold juniors should outperform the silver juniors. I know this is heresy, but it's... it's the way it looks. So.
Bob, you always call it the way it looks. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and I look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Bob will gladly answer your question. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.